So, guys, we're gonna address a little bit of a challenging subject. I'm not sure why I'm doing this on Father's Day, other than I'm a masochist. I just wanted to do something hard. But the title of the message is actually a question. And the question is this: is God good all the time? If there's a desired outcome for today, it's this. We would begin to realize that even when times are not good, life is not good, He is good. Even when life is not good, He is good. Now, we all have moments in our life that are clearly the sovereign God good moments. Like, you know, when your baby is born. I mean, this was a good moment for the Carter family, right? That's good. Or you know, you're driving down the interstate in the middle of the blizzard, and you start spinning out, and everybody else is spinning out, and miraculously nobody hits anybody else and winds up in the hospital. We say, oh, my guardian angels are watching me, right? Thank you, God. Or you're watching the perfect sunset, holding the hand of the one you love, and you say, God, you're so good. And there are other times when things aren't good. And in those moments when it's clearly you can't connect the dots to God, and it's all bad, and you're saying, okay, well, is God really good right now? What I know as I read the Bible, that there were many people who were much more spiritual than I am, and they went through a lot more difficult times than I have. And in the midst of those times, they have shared words that are truly profound and important. Let me share a few of them with you. Like Joseph, when his brothers sold him into slavery, a not good thing, right? He says in Genesis 50:20 to them, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. David, who went through many ups and downs in his life and his walk with God, and had challenges, many challenges, some of his own making and some that weren't. He said in Psalm 27, verse 13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. The Apostle Paul, who was beaten and betrayed, spent a couple days floating on an open ocean after his ship sank, eventually died for his faith. He said this in Romans 5:3, we also glory in our sufferings because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. James, the brother of Jesus, said this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Friends, the point that we hope to get to in our lives and our relationship with God is 1 Peter 1:8 that says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now. Is there something happening in your world right now and you don't see God? And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Friends, there are many times that we're not going to be able to see God. There are many times that pain and hardship and struggle are going to be so evident that it's going to blur or even block the image of God. And yet, we can still trust that he is good. Now that there are some Christians, people, preachers that would have you to believe that if you're going through pain, if you're going through sickness, troubles, if there's a problem, that means that there's something wrong with you and your faith. You're not doing something right because God only wants, you know, good health and good breath and good hair all the time, right? Because the scripture simply just does not bear that out. Guys, if we begin to understand that problems, sufferings, not good moments, are opportunities for us to change our fix. So guys, when bad things happen, and I'm talking bad things, really bad things, not you can't find your phone bad thing, but really bad things, when they happen, if we change our focus to forward and upward instead of inward, God's goodness can be seen. Those instances can build strength and character, faith. They provide us opportunities for us to be the ministers of God to others who are going through hardship. John 9:2 informs us that suffering is not always the result of sin. Romans 5:3 tells us God provides hope and love in the midst of suffering. Romans 8:28 informs us that problems help us trust in God's sovereign or big picture plan. 2 Corinthians 1:3 reveals that suffering enables us to comfort others when they are suffering. 2 Corinthians 4:17 tells us that our eternal reward outweighs the current problems that we're dealing with. 2 Thessalonians 1:5 lets us know that problems may be, in fact, a way of confirming that you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. Catch that one? Sometimes problems are an evidence that you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. And Hebrews 12:11 declares that trials help train us to be more fruitful. 1 Peter 4 declares that when we suffer, we share in the sufferings of Christ. In other words, we're experiencing the life of Christ when we suffer. To think that these items are going to be fully understandable is impossible. We're gonna talk about God and his will and his sovereignty in a series in the month of July. But let me just simply say right now, guys, we are never going to fully understand God's plan and God's ways because we are not God. I am not God. Guys, when I look in the mirror, the one thing that is clear above all else is I am not God. And yet, even during times that are not good, He is still good. So I have a couple questions. And so really the message today is sort of my own journey and questions that I have asked and answered myself. And I'm just telling you, I've done a lot of digging, and I'm still digging, and I'm still searching, and I'm hoping that the because of the things I'm going to say bear themselves true in God's word, that they will be, there'll be an encouragement. But you know what, guys? My personal digging is not going to solve your challenges. This is at best an encouragement to grab a shovel. Get down on your hands and knees. So the first question that I felt is necessary for me to ask and answer is, are there constant examples of God's goodness? And this, again, this requires a lot of personal thought and work and attention and devotion. And so I have come in my journey with Christ and in my journey with His word to understand there's at least three constant examples of God's goodness. And the first one is the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. The promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ is an example of God's perpetual goodness. Guys, eternity informs everything. You know, the scripture says that God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God did an act so that we could spend eternity with Him, so and then that eternity would inform everything. If we are going to constantly or only or regularly even be looking to this life for answers around the complex issues of pain and suffering and hardships and in mystery, we're done. We're done. Guys, the world is only getting more complicated. Is there anyone who's been an adult for 20 years or 10 years or even 5 years that would say, hey, you know what? Life is so much simpler now than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I mean, we have all this stuff. We have all this technology. We have all this wonder, all these wonderful experiences. And is there anyone who would say, hey, you know what? My life is the simplest right now that it's ever been. So why would we go to a complex and conflicted world, a hard place, a confused place to find the answers? God says, no, go to eternity. Look at the eternal, look at heaven. That's the only place where everything is only good all the time, and that informs everything about our circumstances today. God's goodness is seen in His desire to have everyone, every human, experience that reality. The second thing we see is that God's eternity is being fulfilled in his plan actually being carried out. Now this is what I know right now, guys. And again, we're gonna address this in July with a lot more detail and clarity. But the one thing I know right now is God is not sitting on the stoop of heaven having a conversation amongst himself, you know, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're not sitting there wringing their hands and saying, well, if they don't do that, the whole thing's going to get messed up. You know, if they go right at that intersection, the whole world's going to unravel. No. God will work his plan. God's sovereign will is going to happen. God and only God will bring order out of chaos. That's what he does. And in the third truth of God's goodness is his promised continual presence in our lives. If you are his child, he is always with you. Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He's always with you. And he's constantly with us in two very tangible ways. The first way that he is constantly with us is in his word. Guys, you know, we can't even begin to understand how important that is. And one of the reasons why we don't understand that is because we so often take it for granted. I mean, I would be shocked if most of you don't have several book forms, written bound book forms of the Bible at your home. And most of you that have several bound and written book forms, don't even use them because on your phone you have 50 versions of it. And let me just take a little jaunt here on the subject. You know, there's a lot of people, I'm around a lot of people that say, hey, we're destroying God's word because we're not reading the book form of his word. And it's electronic and we're not turning the pages and God can't. Guys, God is doing something amazing with his word in this digital revolution. Much the same way he did amazing work in his word when we came up with the printing press, and for the first time people actually had pages. Now God's word is going forth into the world in ways we could have never even imagined. You know, if you're a Christian and you're on social media, digital Christian social media, I would be shocked if you didn't get at least one image graphic of a scripture verse every day, right? I mean, my friends in my social network, they're constantly creating their own. It's not just the professionals anymore. God's word is going forth in an amazing and profound way. He's always with us in his word. And secondly, he's always with us in prayer. Guys, constantly he's with us in prayer. And what's most amazing about this is he knows, you know, Psalm 139 tells us, he knows your thoughts before they even cross your mind. Before before you even know that you think, before you even think you might need to pray, he knows you're going to think that and you're going to do it. Practically, what are the implications of this? Okay, so I'm a dad, and there have been multiple times in the 20, almost 21 years now that I've been a dad, that my children have come to me and needed me for something, and I have not given them my attention because I was involved in literally keeping the world from spiraling out of existence. There's something so monumental that I couldn't give them the few moments of attention that they needed around a subject. Guys, if you're his child and you go to him, by the way, he is the one that's keeping the universe from spiraling out of attention. And is never anything but totally connected with you in prayer. Sounds pretty good to me. One of the other profound things about prayer and his goodness as it relates to prayer is there are many times that I either don't know what to pray or I pray the wrong thing. But God is so with me in prayer, I can't even mess it up. Romans 8:23. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that we cannot express. He's so with you in prayer, you can't possibly mess it up. Sounds pretty good to me. So the three examples of his presence are heaven. He's going to make sure his plan is carried out, and he's always with us. Okay, so second question that I felt was important for me to ask and answer is, how can we know God's goodness during affliction? Friends, if we will believe, and David alluded to it in our worship day, if we will believe that he is good, we're going to reach out to him and praise him during the midst of our suffering, during the midst of our hard times. But if we don't believe that he is good, then we're going to fail to praise him. We're going to fail to lift up his name. And we need to find ways to help us seek him in the midst of goodness, or in the midst of problems, and trust in his goodness. So a couple thoughts here. Okay, first one that might help us in the midst of affliction, I found, and the scripture bears it out to be true, are fellow travelers. When I'm going through a challenging time, having other people who have either been through similar situations and come out of it on the other side, or simply having another person who's willing to walk with me through it, that is good. And those are gifts from God. And let me talk to you who are willing to be fellow travelers. You know, you're willing to go to the neighbor's house who's dying and spend some time with them. You're willing to walk with your friends who've lost their job and now they might lose their home. Your best friend just started the chemo treatments and you're willing to drive. You're willing to be the driver. You're willing to be the Uber. It, let me just talk to you for a second and tell you right away, you don't have to know how to explain why. In fact, acknowledging from the onset that you will never likely understand, and you're never likely going to help them understand why, can be freeing. You know, last night about 10:30, I got the pastor call. Called me, and my spouse died unexpectedly. So I go and I spend 2.5-3 hours in the home. And all the crazy things that goes on with that. And I am thoroughly convinced that other than my prayer, the words I spoke were of little consequence, but letting them speak was very important. It's this, guys, if you're going to be the fellow traveler, be slow to speak and quick to listen. You don't have to have the answers, you just have to be with them. So fellow travelers, second, keep asking for it. You know, if you're having a hard time seeing the goodness of God during your suffering, keep asking God to show you. Keep asking God for his goodness. Keep asking him to be with you. Keep digging into it. You know, it's like Jacob in Genesis. You know, when the angel of the Lord comes to wrestle with him, he keeps wrestling with him all night long. The angel's trying to leave the tent, and he's not letting him go. And he said, I'm not letting you go until you touch me. Keep after it. Don't give up. And sometimes I think what happens is people... You know, they're confused, they're hurt, they don't know, and they're asking for it, and it's still not making sense, and there's still this disconnect. And then what they do is they decide, okay, I should be past it at this point. I'm just gonna act like I'm past it. I'm just going to move on. I'm just going to keep coming to church. I'm going to put my church face on, and it's all going to be good. Guys, remember, God knows every thought before you ever even had them, right? And if you're sitting there and you're thinking in your mind, you're not sure if God is good, keep talking to him about it. Don't push it under the rug. Keep asking him when we're in the midst of pain to know his goodness. And then third is to keep looking for it. And one of the things I have found in my life to be true is that sometimes I want to look internally for the answers. Right? I want to look in my brain, I want it to make sense, you know. And I'm just looking for it in the wrong place. I'm just looking for it in my brain or in this instance instead of what's ahead or even what's behind. You know, I'm going to date myself a little bit, but, you know, some of you probably remember the name Arthur Ashe. And Arthur Ashe was a famous tennis player. He's the first African-American to win Wimbledon. And if you might even remember his story, Arthur Ashe contracted HIV from a surgical procedure. And as he was dying of AIDS, and this is very early on in the AIDS deal, somebody asked him, and this is 30 years ago or so. It's a long time ago. I'm really old. I can't remember. But I remember reading it, and somebody asked him, Have you ever, are you asking God why? And this is what he said. He said, I didn't ask him why when I was standing at center court as the first black man to win Wimbledon, so why would I ask him why now? What did Arthur Ashe do? First of all, does anyone think that it was good or fair for Arthur Ashe to contract HIV because he had a surgical procedure? Anybody? So when that not good, unfair thing happened to him, what did he do? He went back to the moment of God's goodness in his life that allowed him to have this monumental, culturally impacting moment. He said, well, God was good. I'm going to think about that instead of this. Guys, we can, if we're diligent, we can look back and see God's easily. We can look back. And if we're diligent, we can look even right now in the circumstances in which we're processing through and see God's goodness in this instance right here. Well, that this isn't good, but he's good there. If this is bad, but over here, I can really see he did this, right? But we have to look for it. Friends, I think we all need pictures of God's goodness to hold our lives, to help us through the problems that we know are going to be part of the journey. I mean, Jesus said, you're going to have trouble, right? In this life, you're going to have trouble. I remember, a while ago when we got video cameras on our phones, I made the statement, I said, well, that's the end of pictures. Pictures are done. No one's ever going to take a picture when we get video 24/7. Videos are so much better than pictures. Why would anybody want pictures when you get video? That was almost as bad as my statement, reality TV will never work either, right? I mean, yes, video is incredible, but we still, our culture, your phones, your computers, your shelves, you still have all these pictures everywhere. Why? Because for the amateur photographer, pictures capture a moment. And almost always do those picture moments, those captures of a moment, they speak to goodness. They do something to us. I'll try explaining this. I got a picture of 2009 Christmas Eve. For 19 years, we've had our Christmas Eve family picture taken at the church. This was 2009, and since we did the remodel in 7, they've all been in front of the fireplace, right? And the lady in the front row next to my wife is my mom. And in 19 years in Colorado, my mom was here one time. And I have a picture of it. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Pastors are not good company around Christmas. It's just a crazy time for us. Occasionally we'll get on a plane and go to Michigan afterwards. It's all relaxing afterwards, but it's just not a good time, and it's a big time for it. But one year she came. The reason she came, though, is because her mom, my grandmother, was dying in my basement. We'd called in hospice, and she spent the month of December with her mom that was dying. And a couple days after Christmas, my grandmother died. That wasn't good. There's nothing good about that. Watching somebody waste away with cancer is not good. But yet, in the midst of that very not good situation, I have a picture of something that was good. Guys, God has given all of us a picture of his goodness. We call it the cross. In fact, at any time things are not good, we can look to the cross as the most profound demonstration of his goodness and his love. God has also given us a way as the church, as a body of believers, to remember that, and we call it communion. And so today, we're going to call up to communion. I'm going to ask everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes for just a second. David, you come on up. Ushers, why don't you guys come on and just stay up here, though. Don't just hang for just a second. And whatever it is that you're dealing with right now, will you just take your mind's eye off of that and turn it to the cross for just a moment? God, thank you for this amazing picture of your goodness. And I pray right now that we would allow this image to help us as we're struggling with our very real and bad moments. This in Jesus' name.